Hello, and welcome to another session of Good News Crew.
Good morning, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, too.
Or good night, if you're listening before bed.
Hope you all have had a wonderful week, and hopefully it gets better, because we had an awesome week.
Yes, and we did. So, yeah, we actually went to the Rail Explorers. It's a rail bike in the Catskill. And it's basically being on a rail with a bike, and you sit, it's not an actual bike, you just sit down and you pedal. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like a, I don't know what to explain it. It's a four-seater bike all connected together, and then we all just sit down and pedal away. It's so cute.
Like, so it's pretty much like being on a train, but like on a bicycle where it's open. So you get to experience like the fresh air, you get to see everything around you, and you're going on the train route. So it's on the actual train tracks that were previously there. So it was fun. We got to see a lot of foliage. We saw some bears, their cubs. It was really nice. We definitely recommend it.
Yes, absolutely. So we had a great time in the Catskills. I love the Catskills. We stayed overnight at the Colonial Inn, and it was such an authentic inn with a lot of antiques. Everyone is just so nice there. So yeah, I hope everyone did something. Despite the COVID-19, we still stayed safe and did hiking in the woods as well at the Giant Ledge. So today we're a little sore and tired, but we are
very
good.
Sore. I got up and I couldn't move my legs, and I had to like squat down to pick something up. I'm like, I can't, it's not happening today.
But we are here to give you some good news.
Yay!
So I will start with an amazing news that I have here. This one is about a caricature. I don't know if I said it right. A caricature artist drawing elderly individuals through windows. So basically, he goes to these assisted livings and nursing homes, and he draws them through the window. And he really does a great job. Everyone, all the elderlies are super excited to see their finished product of their caricature. So I don't know if you ever had a caricature done, but I had one in the Times Square before, New York City. And it's really cool because it makes you look like you, but not like you. It's a little stretched out and cartoony.
I've had one of these done of me too. And it's really cool because they like accentuate certain features of yours.
Yeah.
Like for me, they gave me like really big eyes. So I look very like cartoonish. So it was nice. It looks like you, but not like you. So it gives you like a little bit of an edge.
It does. And especially the elderly through COVID. He wanted to do this during COVID. So the COVID-19 doesn't affect all these residents and elderly in nursing homes. He really wanted to make them smile. You know, it's really nice of him to do something like that, because, you know, you have people all alone and worried because of this COVID-19. But now with COVID-19 in the air, we get to have excitement through the windows. So I just thought that was an amazing thing that he did.
The safe way. There's a video?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Perfect.
Joe Ferris, he has a lot to offer. Hi, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey, Cindy. Hey, Dana.
Good morning. Good morning.
So I'm showing a video of COVID, this guy drawing for COVID-19 individuals.
Safe way to help keep residents entertained and doing something during these tough times.
All right, Mike.
You ready?
Are you ready to see a good-looking man?
You ready to see a good-looking man?
You see any around here? You do a good job.
Thank you.
You do a good job.
When he does the characters, they get so excited and they hold them up and we take pictures, and it's another interaction that they get to have safely.
I think that adding some joy to an elderly person's life is like adding time in their life, because, you know, I think a life isn't qualified by how many years somebody has, but how much fun and how many smiles they have in those years.
It's such a great video of how Joe Ferris, the caricature artist, donates these caricature artwork to elderlies and nursing home people. Yeah. So if we can help out in any way to help the nursing home and elderly, that would be wonderful. What do you think? That's certainly good news.
For sure.
Yeah. And we have today Dana, myself, Cindy, and Poe, and Sylvia.
I can share one.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. So I found this article this morning. It's on the Good News Network. It's about a woman who designed cardboard beds for patients in India that have tested positive for COVID. So I don't know if you guys are aware, but India is experiencing a huge spike in COVID, which is the bad news. But the good news is that the beds that are designed are disposable, they're recyclable, and they can be sanitized. So they're pretty much one per patient. After that patient has recovered and discharged, these beds can be recycled. And they're made from paper cardboard. And there's a little video clip about how it's put together and how cost-effective it is. The numbers are presented in Indian currency, and it comes out to $13, a little less than $13 per bed. And this person's name is Riya Shah, and she is she's part of the doctoral program. And she was supposed to go to the Netherlands to continue her residency, but she wasn't able to due to COVID. So she decided to put in some time to help people in India, which is the country that she lives in now. She's from Gujarat, to help them with the COVID-related situation that they're dealing with. So here's pictures of the bed, and there's also a video. Oh, it can stand up to 440 pounds in weight. So even if you are a large person, you could still be able to use this bed. So it's pretty economical. So here's a little clip. And it has a nice audio to it too to follow along. Hope it plays. The cardboard boxes, first I thought they look really uncomfortable. The cardboard beds, sorry. They look really uncomfortable, but they actually put in a little like mattress on top of it. So that kind of makes it more comfortable. Matthew's here. Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, wow. So I'm shocked that it can hold up to 400 pounds, a cardboard.
And it's less than $13.
So the mattress is underneath it?
No, it goes on top of it. So in India, people don't really use like thick mattresses like we do. They make it out of like fabric with like a little bit of cotton layer in between, because India is a hot climate. So they don't want to sleep on something that's going to make them feel even hotter. So they tend to use very efficient mattresses that can be washed easily too and disinfected in this case. So, and it provides more beds in the hospitals and things like that, because that's one of the biggest things in India. There's a shortage of beds for patients, something that we had experienced in New York too. So that's what they're going through now.
Okay. Yeah.
That's... Or we could just come back to it if someone else wants to share, and I'll try to reload this in the meantime.
Oh man, so you can really do anything, cardboard beds. I mean, I wonder if we could implement this for the homeless people in New York City. And it's only $13.
Less than 13, yeah. $12.27. And it doesn't require any glue, any special tools to put together. It just requires folding and placing together. And that's what makes the beds.
Oh, okay. And it's indoors, so that's a good thing. Because there's no rain. How sturdy is it if it's cardboard? Can someone collapse on it? Like,
it's waterproof, and it can also be, you can also use disinfectant on it.
Waterproof cardboard?
Mm-hmm. So they put like a protectant sealant on it. So that way it can be cleaned between the person's usage, but it should ideally be used for one person.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So we can make anything out of anything. Maybe we should make plastic bag beds. So go ahead.
When I took a mechanical art in high school, we actually made cardboard beds. So they actually do work. We made them out of actual cardboard, like that you use from like boxes. And they were very sturdy. So they work very well. That's all my comment.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I laid on it. It's probably as sturdy as the actual bed. We didn't have a mattress or anything or we didn't put the coating to waterproof it, but you can put like a coating on it to waterproof, because the people have made cardboard guitars and they waterproof it so they can use it all the time. So yeah, it's surprisingly, it's like, it's a honeycomb effect essentially that makes it have the strength that it does.
Can you jump on it?
I did jump on it actually too, because you know me, I had to be a little troublemaker. It worked, surprisingly, until like four of us jumped on it, then it didn't work anymore.
Oh boy. Yeah, but that's a good bed test, right? To jump on it to see if it'll last.
Oh my gosh. That's a great article. Paul, do you have anything you would want to share? Or
yeah, I have something. Let me see if I could share it. Here, I see it. Okay. So this is the dog that, so the owner teached her how to like speak based on like buttons on the floor, and the buttons all represent like a verb or like, you know, it could be food, it could be like a line, like dad, mom, and it teaches the dog to associate each word with like item or, you know, like an action. So this is just like a video of showing how the dog uses the buttons. I thought that was kind of cool.
Hey, we can read the caption. So she pretty much said, you got a question, and the dog said what? So you program the dog to click what the dog wants then?
Yeah, so you put words in the button, and they will recall the words into the button, and the dog will associate that button with that particular word. And so every time when it wants to communicate with you, it would push that button to tell you, you know, this is what they're looking for. So it's kind of cool because the dog has slowly learning these words, and like it start forming sentences. It was able to associate like, dad, mom, I wanted poop, food, and stuff. It's really cool just seeing like the progress. That's me.
That's cool.
Those are a lot of buttons too.
Yeah.
I have like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Do you know what else is on the buttons? Is it besides ball?
I'm seeing like different symbols on it, like throw, catch, and then there's some with paw prints, and then I think they might have like visual symbols on them, because like I said, I work with kids that use some of these AAC devices, and they typically have picture representations on top, so I think maybe he's looking at the pictures that are on those buttons, but there's like 20, 30 buttons, it's crazy.
Impressive. So it's like the dog is speaking in English in a way, right? But through sounds, yeah. But not through words.
Yeah, I don't know if the dog itself is actually looking at the pictures, just because they all have dog prints on it. I think it just is associate where the location of those buttons, and then it knows that, okay, that button in that area means, you know, maybe food, or, you know, they want like scratches, you know, or get pet and stuff like that. So.
That's an amazing creation. Well, that is the future. Our pets can communicate with us through sounds.
He's so good. He's so poised. He's like, bloop, bloop, picking up his little paw.
Okay. And I just think it's really cool that it just shows that dogs are a very smart animal, you know, to be able to teach language to them, and then they're able to understand, and then, you know. Yeah, so if you guys want to follow it, the tag is called What About Bunny, and it's on Instagram.
I tried to train my cats to use the call bell to request for food. Didn't really work, but now every time I press it, like one of my cats, like one of them just ran up to me over here because they think they're going to get food whenever I ring the bell. So they're slowly starting to associate the sound with food. And then eventually I want to keep this by where their food is. So that way they can call for it if they get hungry. And then I come running and I give them food, which can end up very badly, but we'll see. Because when they ask for these things, you kind of have to give it to them. You have to reinforce that learning. So once you don't give it to them, it's like that Pavlov effect, right?
Yeah.
Taken psychology, it's similar to that. So you kind of have to condition them into making those requests, and you have to really follow through. So even if this dog's pressing ball in the middle of the night, the owner's going to have to give them the ball, or else that dog's going to unlearn it. So, yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, that's a great article. I like that. It's just like, you could speak to your cat maybe soon, because, you know, you don't know what the cat, but a cat's going to go food, food, food. So, but maybe if it's in pain and it needs a doctor, maybe it might go to the doctor button, which is very important for animals.
There's actually a video on it that shows that it's an ouch, and then it turns out that it has stepped on something and they were able to pull it out. Like, because they live by where like a forest area, and sometimes stuff gets stuck between the paws and stuff. And so the dog was able to communicate to the owner, and the owner was able to get it out before anything really bad happened. So it's very cool stuff.
Very cool. Very nice.
Yeah, we love our furry animals.
Yeah.
We saw a bear yesterday when we went to the Catskills. And was it yesterday? Friday. On Friday, we went to the Catskills and we saw bears, and we got super excited. And it would be cool to know what a bear was saying to us. Oh, pet me. Oh, give me food. Maybe they'll be friendly. Who knows?
Or go away. Leave me alone. Let me eat. That's probably what that big bear was thinking. He's like, why are you guys screaming bear, bear? And then he started to like walk away. He's like, bye.
Okay, so I have another one. So here is a couple who met while working at Indiana grocery store. So they ended up working there since they were 16. They stayed there for 50 years each. And they ended up getting married. They ended up being together and being married. They never left their job at the Mishawaka grocery store in Indiana. People, even if they thought about leaving their job, they heard their friends complaining about their jobs. So they just ended up staying at their current job. And it worked out for them. So Becky and Ed Osowski ended up being together. It's nice, you know, I mean, they were single and they got together. I know a lot of people get together in a work environment. And, but it's good if you're single and you have no one and you can really develop a life, you know, because they see each other every single day. They got together actually 5 years in. They got together early. They started working at 16 and in their 20s, they got married and they stayed married. Yeah, it's really young because she was 16 and 5 years later they got married. 21? Yeah, at 21 they got married and they stayed. And now they're 66 years old. They're retiring together. It's just really beautiful. And the guy, Ed, he moved up in the ranks. He became the director of produce at the company's headquarters. And she continued working there until now. He ended up traveling to countries like Honduras in Central America, Holland and Spain. He loves traveling and he got to do what he loved to do in the end. So you never know where anything takes you. If you enjoy your job, even if it's a grocery retail worker job, you stay and just go and stay where you are happy in life. Sometimes money is not always a, you know, prerogative. And you know, it's just a beautiful thing that they stayed in a grocery store and really stayed their entire life there almost. I thought it was a neat story. What do you think?
Which is also great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. I have another one. I might as well get it out here. Where McDonald's customer raises $27,000, 27 G's, for an employee who paid for her meal after she forgot her wallet. It turns out
27,000?
Yeah, 27,000 from GoFundMe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. How many meals is she going to buy with that?
I don't know. Yeah, so it's $27,000 a customer donated to the McDonald's staff. Her name was Brittany Reed. So the story was she has two kids and they have football practice. And the kids were so hungry afterwards. The kids were so hungry afterwards and they didn't want to eat her red potato salad for dinner. They're like, no, we don't want it. So the mom was like sad and she just went to McDonald's so she could please her kids. She pulled up to the drive-thru window. She ordered the food. And when she went to pay, she forgot her purse at home. She was crying because of so much stress from the kids because they were really crying for food because they were just tired and hungry. So when she pulled up, she was crying. She said, I'll be back to pay you with the money and hold the order. The employee, the staff saw her crying and saw her pain. And he pulled out his own credit card and paid for her. She was so thankful for that. She couldn't believe that someone could pay for her.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. This happened in Ohio, Waynesville, Ohio.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's so lovely. And she ended up doing a GoFundMe. She ended up doing a GoFundMe for that employee and made $27,000 for that employee. And he was so happy. His name was Wyatt Jones. He ended up just paying for one meal for a family and making $27,000 in the end, just to show her gratitude for that day. She said that it eased her pain when she saw that he paid for her and her kids. It really took away the frustration, knowing that someone really cares. A little goes a long way.
It really does. Just one meal, and then it led to $27,000. That's massive. I mean, that could feed the family for like years. Did he donate this to that particular mom?
Yes. He did it for that mom particular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just because he saw her crying and the two kids being annoying in the back.
Like, don't be annoying. Here's $27,000.
Yeah. I mean, the kids, I don't know why the kids didn't like her red potato salad. Is it that bad?
Maybe she doesn't cook very well and they really love McDonald's.
Maybe kids just like McDonald's. Because I remember when I was little, me and my sister used to say, we want McDonald's.
That was really good food.
Yeah, it was. I grew up with fast food.
The Happy Meals.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's childhood right there.
Very nice.
I wonder if it's all the marketing that made us kids like it, or if it was just... it was really good, because I don't know, as I get older, it just doesn't taste as good anymore.
I think it's more so marketing. And now their toys aren't even that good, because sometimes I drive by for the Happy Meal and their toys are terrible. Like, and I was like, what is this? Like, and I specifically go to the drive-thru because I know when I go in to pick up, they're always going to be like, oh, how old is your child, girl or boy? And I'm like, girl. Hi. Give me my Happy Meal, please, with the Go-Gurt and the apples.
I used to have a Big Mac and chocolate milkshake every Friday.
Wow. So you got like the actual meal. You didn't get the kids' meal.
I got the kids' meal sometimes on top of the Big Mac. I was a hungry little boy.
Nice. I usually get their chicken nuggets or their cheeseburger. Mm,
love
their
chicken nuggets. It's like, yeah. It's really good.
And it comes with like a little thing of fries, and it's like, yeah, the perfect meal, like the midday lunch. It's like, it doesn't make you groggy, it doesn't make you too full, it doesn't leave you hungry. It's like, and you get a fruit with it, you get a yogurt, I get chocolate milk with it. I don't get soda. So it's a well-rounded, healthy meal, even at McDonald's.
One of Matthew's friends said that if he can have his last meal, it would be McDonald's Chicken McNuggets as his last meal. Would you agree with that?
That's a cheap meal. What is it? 40 pieces for like $5 or something?
I don't know. $5. 20 pieces for $5 here?
20 pieces? Wow.
That's a cheap meal.
I guess he loves it that much.
Last meal.
What would your last meal be?
I'm thinking pizza.
That's cheap too. That's cheaper.
Exactly. I guess it's like the cheaper end food is something that we truly love, or like Chinese food. Broccoli and brown sauce.
Really? Okay. What about you, Po?
Well, it changes, but I think right now I could go for ramen, so I would do that.
Yummy. I love ramen.
It was incomplete from yesterday, so I think that's what you're lingering on.
Thinking about it, so I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to get some ramen.
Yeah, I would do probably like an impossible burger with fries or something. Loaded burger with fries.
Yum.
And dessert and appetizer and
Matthew, full course meal.
And margarita.
A drink in there, of course.
He's nice and light.
I'd like some margarita too.
There you go. Margarita and pizza and Chinese food.
I guess I'll go to the other cheap extreme and just get a giant burrito.
Ooh.
Fully loaded burrito.
I mean, it's your last meal, so you don't have to worry about the consequences of the next day, right?
That's true. I mean, I like pizza, but it's already taken, so I just want to be different.
Good. So we all have very cheap taste when it comes to our last meal. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, we do. I mean, I was expecting someone to say Salisbury steak or something.
But no one said that. Cheap?
Is it? Okay, Kobe steak or something. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
But I guess we're all simple people.
Yeah.
Or is it that cheap food tastes better?
That too. And it's bad for you, so it's like you might as well just have that as your last meal than like a salad. Like, who wants to eat a salad as their last meal? Not me. You'd really have to love a salad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do love salad. I love the goat cheese with cranberries and walnuts with balsamic vinegar. Or I love Caesar salad. I would have that on the side. Okay, let me include that on the side of my burger.
I think if Gary was here, he would go for the burger. And I think if Sylvia was here, she'd go for the soup.
Yes.
I think. We should ask them next week. See if we're right.
We'll ask them next week.
Everyone give their guesses.
There was, I believe it was a channel or website dedicated to people on death row who recorded their last meals or something so everyone could see the last meal that they ordered.
And that's what they reminded me of. Yeah.
You would see some very interesting meals sometimes. Most time people order cheap food, though, from what I remember, like a hamburger or a pizza slice.
Yeah. All right, guys, I have something to share. The video never loaded.
All right.
I guess we'll do that another time. But this brings me back to Iceland. I know I talk about Iceland a lot, but I can't get it out of my mind, and it keeps popping up everywhere. So, like, I don't know what to do. So now, just the way we did an article about how sounds are recorded in Iceland, like you can scream something and it's put through the speakers in Iceland. Now this is another way to get more tourism. So now Iceland is showing like aerial views of the different scenic points in Iceland because there's so many natural, wonderful nature things in Iceland. So this is one of them. And it's done so that way you can feel good. It soothes your lockdown stress by looking at, you know, a volcano that's steaming around like this black sand and this green volcano. It's very pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the ears, and it kind of helps you de-stress and take your mind off of things. And there is a little video here too. Hopefully this one works. I think this one might work. And this is also by Icelandic Air, the airline. So to get more people to visit Iceland. So I think it's my device. It's saying to restart it. So,
all right.
We'll hold off on that too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But this is one of the volcanoes there in Iceland. And then they have different places in Iceland also on the aerial video view for people to see. Bummer. That's that.
That's so nice. Oh, I love Iceland too. The air is fresh, the black sand beach and red sand beach and everything. Beautiful. I love that in the winter it's so different than the spring. We went during the winter.
Versatile island. Yeah, it changes completely from season to season. So very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else have anything?
So did you guys see that volcano specifically?
No, we didn't get to.
This is on the other side of the island. We only got to like explore half of it because we didn't have much time. So we didn't get to that one. But we did the crater.
Crater, yeah. We did the crater. It starts with a K. I don't remember his name.
All the names are super complicated in Iceland.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. Hopefully Good News Crew could go to Iceland one day.
I would love to go to Iceland.
Yeah, that would be lovely. We can do the springtime where sunlight is 24/7.
And the puffins, they come in to migrate. Fluffy penguins.
Yeah, the puffins are penguins. They call it puffins in Iceland.
but they're like super fluffy and they have like a colorful streak on their beak.
Did they fly or no?
I think they must because they flock in and out.
They don't look like, but I don't know. They little fat little things. So cute.
Maybe they swim then. Maybe they swim from one island to another.
Because yeah. Penguins don't swim. I've heard the name puffin before, and they fly, but they're not penguins because they don't swim. So I'm wondering, do they swim or do they fly? Or it's just maybe they call puffins over in Iceland and over, and I think it was New Zealand, they call puffins are a different thing. So maybe just a mixture of names.
Yeah, very cute. Very cute. Great article. I hope everyone have a great week. We're raring into the end.
Wait, I have something about puffins.
Okay. Let's end it with puffins.
They are birds. I just quickly did a Google search. And what else do we see here? They're small birds. Does it say anything about them being in the water?
No clue, but they're very cute looking.
They dive into the water. That's what they do.
But if they're considered birds, I think they should be able to swim. I mean, fly. They feed by diving in the water, nesting among rocks. It doesn't say anything about them flying, actually. Wait. In the air, they beat their wings rapidly in swift flight, often flying low over the ocean surface. So I guess they could do both. Because they do have webbed feet. So I think they can swim.
That's cool.
Yeah. Look at how cute they are.
They're super adorable.
Look at them. Oh, look at
I want a pet puffin.
Me too. But my apartment's got to be super cold then. Super cute.
I love the colorful beaks.
Yeah.
I love the color of the volcano too. The green, then it fades into black. It's such like a contrast that you would not think of. I really want to see that volcano.
Yeah. Definitely. They have all we got the volcano salt from Iceland. It's like a black volcano salt. We just sprinkle it on our food. Sometimes.
Does it taste different?
Not too different. I mean, yeah, it's a little salty, but not crazy. We just sprinkle it because it was salty.
Oh, nice. Does it have like a smoky taste to it or?
No, yeah, it has like a little volcanic taste to it, but not like apparent because I sprinkle very little. Yeah. I heard it's really good for your body. So that's why I bought it. Flugel salt or something it's called.
I think living in Iceland is probably good for your body.
It is, I think.
Sure.
Less pollution. I think. I'm not sure. I did see cars drive around.
Less.
All right. Yeah, so I have a quote for everybody for the week or any time. Today, you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive. You is youer than you. By Dr. Uh-huh. Seuss.
So be you.
Be you.
You are awesome.
You are. And you all are. And everyone listening are awesome. So just remember that today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive. You is youer than you.
Great. Very nice. Well, have a good week, everyone.
Enjoy. Enjoy your week. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Take care. Take care. Have a great one.